Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by GreenHeck. Today, we're talking IAQ in commercial buildings, which has obviously taken on increased significance over the last couple of years. To do that, we're welcoming Tyler Mansell, who is the Principal Application Engineer with GreenHeck. Thanks for joining us, Tyler.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
Improving the quality and safety of the air we breathe has taken on increased importance in light of the pandemic, obviously. What are the challenges contractors face while trying to improve indoor air quality in existing commercial buildings versus some new buildings?
Yeah, so I think, you know, the kind of the large point here is that existing buildings, especially in this regard, present a lot more challenges just because of the unknown of each building. Every existing building is a little bit different in terms of age, how the original design was put together, what's happened since the original build date. So all these things sort of put together make it increasingly difficult to walk in and say, I know exactly what to do. I know what's going on here. Whereas with new buildings these days, we have the benefit of, you know, being up to date with the most recent codes that exist and standard practices that are really aiming towards both indoor air quality and energy efficiency sort of collectively all in one. So when you get into a brand new building, even though each building is a little bit different still, you have a pretty good idea of where things are going to stand and how things are operating in a general sense.
So you feel the concept applies to all the existing buildings?
Yeah, I think, again, all existing buildings are unique, you know, depending on how they were designed and, you know, more specifically, how are they maintained over time? You know, sometimes you walk into a building where there's been some modifications to the control sequences or, you know, how the building is functioning. Some of the equipment might be overridden in certain ways. So everything needs to be taken a close look at when you're evaluating the current state of an existing building.
Some can kind of view indoor air quality as a little vague, I guess. So for those people, how do we determine what our current indoor air quality is and how do you measure it?
Yeah, so indoor air quality is really a large topic. And I think in today's world, especially after the pandemic, people maybe think of indoor air quality and as it correlates to COVID and the presence of COVID in our space. But it's really a larger conversation than just airborne viruses. We have things like pollen, dust, obviously other airborne viruses like the flu and things like that that have been around forever. And these things are present in the air in a concentration level that is either acceptable or maybe a little bit too concentrated. We can't obviously measure each one of these contaminants individually because we don't have the sensors and technology and all those things. But one thing we can do is use an indicator sensor. And the most common one that we see is a CO2 sensor in the space. So as we measure the amount of CO2 concentration in a space or a building, what that's going to do is correlate to the effective ventilation rate of that particular space. So if, as we occupy and bring in more people into a zone, if our CO2 level rises to an unacceptable level, that's going to indicate that other particulates and contaminants are getting to a higher level or could potentially be at a higher level as well. So CO2 measurement is a great way to indicate where our indoor air quality stands in that particular building.
So what if a contractor evaluates a building and determines that the CO2 levels are outside of range? What can be done to bring those levels back down to the recommended levels?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about ways to improve indoor air quality, but the one that really stands above the rest and has even before the pandemic is increasing ventilation as a means of improving indoor air quality. So ventilation is bringing in, is the act of bringing in fresh outdoor air and introducing that into the space and exhausting that stale air that's within the breathing zone to the outdoors. So we're essentially changing out the air with fresh outdoor air. And a great way to do this on an existing building is to use energy recovery, because that's a technology and a device that allows us to bring in more fresh air than we were before while not exceeding the capacity of our existing heating and cooling equipment.
So how does energy recovery work?
So energy recovery is a device that is going to have two opposing air streams in it. You'll be having an exhaust air stream, which is drawing air from the space, and you're going to have a fresh air intake airstream that's bringing in air from the outdoors. The challenge with outdoor air is that it's very unpredictable in terms of what condition it's going to be in. It could be hot and humid, it'd be cool and dry. But one thing that we know is that our space condition is right where we want it to be, 75 degrees, let's say. So by using an energy recovery device, we're going to be bringing that exhaust air across an energy recovery wheel or plate, and we're going to be absorbing energy from our exhaust airstream and transferring it into our incoming fresh airstream. And what ends up happening is you take, let's say, an extreme hot and humid airstream from the outdoors coming in, and you're going to bring that air condition closer to the space condition. So we're going to pre-cool it and pre-dehumidify it before sending it downstream to our heating and cooling equipment. So essentially what we're doing, again, is transferring energy from one airstream to the other and effectively reducing our heating and cooling loads on that fresh air coming in.
So how can energy recovery be used in conjunction with other HVAC equipment and retrofit applications?
So generally what we're going to see is we're going to take an existing exhaust fan. So this might be serving a restroom or a locker room, for example, and we're going to replace that exhaust fan with an energy recovery ventilator. From there, we're going to be bringing all of our new ventilation air in through this ERV, and we'll tie the supply airstream of this ERV into the return of, say, a rooftop unit or an air handler. So we're going to be mixing this new fresh air coming in with the recirculated air from the space. And again, we've reduced the overall load of this fresh air, so we're able to bring in a higher volume of ventilation air and mix it with our return without having to overcome the capacity of our downstream heating and cooling equipment.
How much more fresh air can you bring in using ERV?
Yeah, that's another great question. So it really depends on our geographic location. Obviously, different areas of the country have different climate profiles. It can be hot and humid, could have very frigid winters and things like that. So we have some resources that people can check out, but just sort of a general sense, a lot of areas in the United States can actually double their ventilation from what the baseline was by using an energy recovery ventilator. So there's a lot of dependencies here. It depends on the amount of exhaust and fresh air that we're able to bring in, as well as the performance of the device that we're using. So again, it's not exactly a clear-cut answer, but it is really interesting results when you look at a well-designed system that you can double your ventilation rate in a lot of cases.
All right, perfect. Well, Tyler, thanks a lot for the information. If some of our listeners want to learn a little bit more, where should we be sending them?
Yeah, I would definitely recommend checking out our website. We've got some blog posts on there on this exact topic for retrofit using an energy recovery ventilator for increasing ventilation. You can also reach out to your local GreenHeck representatives or reach us at the factory at GreenHeck. We'd be happy to help you out.
All right, perfect. Thanks again, Tyler.
Thank you.